Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue with our Easter sermon series of He is God Alone, and in particular subset in it, Preparing for Babylon, I'd like to remind you of the challenge that we've seen over the last 2 weeks. We are living in a biblical Babylon, where the world wants to indoctrinate our children, teach them things that are not scriptural. In fact, teach them that there is no God. And we are called to teach our children diligently. We are to use God's word because it's the foundation. And that might have you just a little bit scared. You might be saying something like, Pastor, the Bible, it's 66 books, comprised of 31,102 verses, made up of 757,439 words in the first edition of the ESV Bible. That's big. It can be overwhelming. And where do we start? Well, I think probably the best place to start is to ask ourselves, what does the Bible tell us about our children and our grandchildren? Yes, we are to give them a firm foundation on God's word, but I want you to think about a foundation. A foundation is defensive in nature, so that when the earthquake comes or the tornado hits, the house will stand. But the Bible also teaches that there is a very strong offensive nature to parenting. Consider what the psalmist says in Psalm 127, verse 4 about children. They are arrows in the hands of a warrior. Wise parents will sharpen those arrows so that they can be shot into a hostile environment and cut through the garbage. Babylon, it wants to indoctrinate, and we see it happening today through incessant repetition, saying the same things over and over. This is what you will say because this is what you believe. And the sharpening of our children is done through apologetics, which teaches us the why of the Bible. We need to understand, and our children need to understand, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. So you get that? We're at war. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Boy, think of that. Destroying arguments, destroying every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. That's what we are called to do. And what are these lofty opinions? It's what the experts tell us are truth, aside from the Bible. In short, when we know our Bible, what we believe and why we believe it, well, the Bible tells us what happens. 1 Corinthians 1:20, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Or Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Hence, the need for cancel culture. They don't know the why. And what is taught is foolish. And so when called on it, they must cancel because they can't argue. Their position is destroyed by the truth of God's word. But we will never accomplish that if the truth is not taught and modeled. Which takes us back to the four boys in Daniel. They were, I quote, skillful in all wisdom and endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning. What's understanding, learning mean? They knew how to think. They didn't just regurgitate. They understood what they were taught. They knew the why. And that is a critical key. We must teach wisdom. Otherwise, we will end up compromising. Our children will end up compromising. But we have the Bible. And in it are the, quote, books of wisdom. Written in a covenantal framework. In those books of wisdom, like Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, we see that wisdom is skill in godly living. And we understand where it all starts. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Why? Because He is Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, and He makes the rules. It's really that simple. And we should stand in awe of Him or fear of Him because He spoke and brought this universe into being. So when we look at Proverbs, the forgotten parenting book, the father repeatedly tells his son to find wisdom. Why? Because children are not born with it. And that's the insanity of today. Putting major decisions in the hands of four-year-olds. It's ridiculous. What does the Bible tell us about children? Proverbs 3:13. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. And what gets rid of that folly? Well, we go to Proverbs 22:15. We see the rod of discipline. And no, I'm not talking about beating someone over the head. That rod is straight. It is strong. It doesn't bend. It represents God's word. We disciple, which is the root of discipline, using God's word, telling the why. And the notion that they'll grow out of it in their late teens, no. That's not going to happen either. In fact, this past week I heard about two families whose daughters went off to Ivy League schools as freshmen. They came back after the first quarter, each one of them having begun transgender surgeries. Parents had no idea. They were making crazy decisions because they were told it's the right thing to do by the experts. Understand this about wisdom. It is covenantal in nature. Covenant, a two-way agreement. Wisdom must be given. It must be taught. And it must be received. You can teach all the wisdom you want, but if the person doesn't want to hear it, it's not going to make a difference. But if they'll listen, it can make a dramatic change. The teaching of the wise, we read, is the fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. God's wisdom leads us to salvation. And in Daniel 2:21, we read that He, God, gives wisdom to the wise. He is the author of the wisdom. Now let's put that into context. Daniel, his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were wise men. They were junior wise men. King Nebuchadnezzar had a bad dream. You've probably had one of those in your life where you have a bad dream, you wake up in a cold sweat, and then you think about it, and you can't remember the dream, but you just remember it was bad. And that's the way it was for Nebuchadnezzar. So he called his wise men in, and he told them, I've had a bad dream. It's really upset me. Tell me the dream and its interpretation. And they were, oh, Lord, tell us your dream, and we'll give you the interpretation. No, I don't remember it. You tell me the dream and give me the interpretation. Now, King, you got to remember, you need to tell us that dream first so we can give you the interpretation. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar, who's a bit of a hothead, gets upset and tells them, you know, either you tell me it or you're going to die because you're not really wise. And he makes a decree that they're all to be killed. The wise men say to him, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. No one can show it to the king except the gods. Okay, I'll kill you. And so then we read, then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion. Notice, no panic, no cancel culture, no anger. Prudence, discretion, hallmarks of wisdom. He replied to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon, why is the decree of the king so urgent? Arioch didn't really know. So Daniel asked for permission to go and talk to the king. And he did. And he asked the king, could you give me a day? Or whatever, name a time, I'll come back with the answer. I need to consult with God. And so Nebuchadnezzar told him, tomorrow. He went back, Daniel, to his buddies. And I love this part. He told them, quote, seek mercy from God. What's mercy? Not getting what is deserved. Notice Daniel's mindset. We're wise men. He's got a dream. We're supposed to tell him the dream and give him the answer. If we can't, we deserve to die because we're not very wise. So seek mercy that we don't get what we deserve. And God gives Daniel a vision of the dream and the interpretation. This is where it gets fun. So the next day, Daniel goes back to King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar asks him, are you able to make known to me the dream and its interpretation? And Daniel's response is, no. No man can do it. Only God can reveal it. Now notice the humility here. God has revealed it to me. Not because of any wisdom I have more than all the living, but in order that you may know He is God. He takes him right back to what's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Only God can do this for you, Nebuchadnezzar, and He's done it. Here's your dream. Here's your interpretation. This should be the greatest aim of parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, to give wisdom to our children and understand the final step in that wisdom. It's in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1:24-30. Christ is the wisdom of God. And when we look at Ephesians 3:10, how is that wisdom supposed to be made known? He is made known through the church, the body of Christ. So yes, we pass on that wisdom of God to our children. And yes, we do it for selfish reasons. We want to see them forever in heaven. But that's just scratching the surface. We're going to look back at Daniel. We do it so that God is glorified. And so that our children see how great and wonderful our God is, who has given us the ultimate wisdom. Jesus Christ, who answers every question there is about salvation. And never, ever discount the power that you have through the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God's Word. Because what became of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were put over all the wise men. They were the head honchos. And they continued to stand on the wisdom found in God's Word. And ultimately, Nebuchadnezzar made another decree. This time it was not off with their heads. He made a decree. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. Wow. A complete reversal with Nebuchadnezzar. From hot-headed king to servant of God. And having fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. This is our God, the living God, the one who opens the pathway to him of prayer, which we will embark on in a minute, and the one who comes to us through Holy Communion. It would be wise for us to consider how great he is and what he is doing this very day. And then pass that wisdom, the why of it, onto our children, so they may be their sharp arrows that cut through the garbage that is thrown at them, and that they may stand firm to the very end of days. In Jesus' name, amen.